Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we get with our guests, Jim McLennan, Tim Swartz and I wanted to talk about a little bit about last week's episode with Michael Schrag. Mm-hmm. Now, Tim, I want to get your reaction to this. He was basically a good guest.
Oh, yeah.
But... His credentials are talking about the fact that he's a military aerospace historian. He's studied mystery aircraft and classified propulsion systems and all this other stuff that he lectures about. And then I asked him to talk about that because it's half his bio, and he refuses to.
Right.
What was up with that? Now, you've talked to him before, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, from listening to him, you know, in prepping for this show, apparently, whatever capacity his job is now, he has non-disclosure agreements. And I think that there's a possibility that, you know, whatever his current job is may take a dim view on his outside interests. That's what I'm thinking. There could be things also that, you know, because of his NDA that he can't talk about. But I just wonder if his bosses now are just like, if you're going to work with us, we want you to keep your UFO and top secret black budget aircraft interest on the download just a bit. That, you know, that's just my own opinion.
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to press it because I don't know the guy. And I figured wrecking the show over that didn't make sense.
I could have said,
you know what? Yeah, I don't have time for this. You know,
sure,
goodbye.
Sure.
But instead, I said, well, okay, let's just talk about flying saucers, and that was pretty good. Except also that what got me a little upset is the copy of the book that we got from him is not the final version of the book.
Right. Yeah, I guess we would have had to have paid for that one.
Oh, come on. If you're doing a show with a lot of listeners and you're promoting somebody's book, you normally assume they will get a copy to you. Now, one exception recently, like in the last year or so, is John Burroughs, the guy who was one of the witnesses in the Rendlesham UFO encounter. And he comes out with a new book, and I say, hi, John. You know, I thought we had a good relationship. In fact, when he was on the PowerCast once, he was in the studio with me. He came to my home office, and he was sitting there, and we were doing a show, and he was very nice. I said, get us a copy of the book. No, you have to buy it, and then I'll do the show.
Wow. You know, anytime I'm on, you know, anybody else's show, and they want a copy of my book, whether it be, you know, just a PDF or a hard copy, I'm always more than happy to provide it. So, I mean, I don't understand that kind of attitude. I guess, you know, are you so afraid that you're not going to make enough sales that you have to make sure that even the shows that you're on, you know, buy a copy? Yes.
You have to invest in promoting things, I think.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, though, about, you know, our previous guest, when we had him on Exploring the Bizarre, that was before he had his current job, and, you know, he was more open about discussing those things then, more so than he was so, you know, now. So I'm not quite sure what has changed. You know, it's been a couple of years, but there's some dynamic that has shifted.
Well, I didn't want to press him on it because I felt we should talk about the book and talk about the flying saucers or whatever you want to call them and not deal with that. Anyway, James McLennan, welcome to the PowerCast. This is not about you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so we want to talk to you about the fact that you've got an interesting background here. But I'm reading the material here. You're a sociology professor, it says here, a licensed clinical social worker. Do you work as a teacher or what?
Well, I was a college professor for over 2 decades, and during that time, I went back and got a master's in social work, and so then I became a clinical social worker. I worked in a psychiatric hospital. I'm retired now. I was a college professor for many, many years. Then for the final 8 years of my working career, I worked in a Virginia Beach Psychiatric Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Okay. Now, your involvement in the world of the paranormal, how did that begin?
Well, it started out so long ago. I was a Vietnam veteran, and when I came back, I decided I was actually a civil engineer, but I decided I wanted to become something different. And so I went back to graduate school and was studying sociology. And just one day I decided it was just too boring. And I went and checked out the Journal of Parapsychology in the library and started reading about it. And it turned out that using meditation was thought to enhance one's extrasensory perception ability. And I had had some very, very strange experiences while I was in Vietnam. And so one thing led to another, and I cooked up a PhD dissertation, which involved studying a parapsychologist, kind of like a scientist. It was a sociology of science study. So I ended up traveling all over the country interviewing parapsychologists, and that put me in touch with them, and they had my address, and people were contacting them all the time. So when cases came up, haunting cases and poltergeist cases, they would send me the information, and I would go interview those people also. So I started doing that kind of as a sideline because it seemed just astonishing to me. I couldn't believe that these kinds of things were so prevalent. But it turns out this is in the 1970s and early 1980s. It turns out that they've always been somewhat prevalent. People just didn't really realize how prevalent these kind of things were occurring.
I think if you talk to people and they're willing to open up to you, an extremely high amount of people have had unusual encounters. It could be ghost sightings. It could be UFOs, whatever it is. But I wanted to dovetail back to your experiences in Vietnam, where you said you had some ESP-type experiences. Can you tell us about some of them?
Well, it wasn't actually extrasensory perception, and I didn't really have a framework for interpreting it at the time. But there was a period, a stage, where I was embedded with South Vietnamese combat engineer units, and I was on this Nui Kham Mountain. Translated in English, it's called Forbidden Mountain, and it was thought to be kind of a magical or sacred place, and we were supposed to be building this fire base on top of it, and the conditions were just so very, very primitive. I was embedded with South Vietnamese combat troops, and I didn't speak Vietnamese very well. There were very few people I could communicate with, and we were surrounded with Viet Cong, and they were coming up to our lines every night, and there was just a lot of stress, and the whole situation looked incredibly, incredibly bleak, and that we were supposed to be building these fire bases on top of the mountain, and my counterpart was this South Vietnamese major, and he was kind of a mafia figure or something. He had all kinds of underground connections, and the troops were incredibly afraid of him. So it's a very strange environment because he was so powerful. He revealed that his superiors had turned against him, and he was being sent to this position, particular place, so that he would die. They wanted to have him executed. They expected the enemy to attack, and we would be overrun, and he would be killed. That was his prediction for the future. So that sounds like pretty bad prognosis.
And it's certainly a place you wouldn't have wanted to be in, I guess.
No.
Anyway, we've got Jim McLennan. We're talking about his introduction to the world of the paranormal. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Back to Vietnam. You're dealing with this counterpart from South Vietnam, well, Jim. And I want to ask you, first of all, the guy spoke English and everything?
He spoke English, so he was my main contact, and there was another sergeant who spoke some English. At that stage, I could speak some semblance of Vietnamese. I know how to say, how are you? How many kids do you have? What's, you know, how's your mother doing? How's your father doing? I could carry on all these rudimentary conversations. But he was a very powerful and strange character, and he had this antique tea table that he had brought in. We were living in a tent, and he had this tea table, and then every afternoon we had tea in the afternoon, and we sat around this tea table on our cots and drank this tea, and he told me that that was his connection to reality that made him realize who he really was this tea table. And so that became kind of a symbolic object for us. We were going to hold on to reality by having tea in the afternoon.
Let me ask you one quick question before we do that.
Okay.
The food in Vietnam, is it anything like we see in the restaurants here in America or what?
Well, in the restaurants in America, you have high cuisine kind of food, the kind that you would get in a good restaurant in Vietnam. In those combat conditions, we didn't even have sea rations. We just had rice, and then we would have maybe a can of sea ration chicken or a can of sea ration beef, and we'd put it on top of our rice, and that was all we had. The food was very, very limited, and I was hungry the whole time, and I think most of us were hungry, but the situation became even worse because we were hitting rock to build the foundations for these bunkers we were supposed to build. So we were having to blast the rock. The rock would fly up and then it would come down on top of us. So we were essentially mortaring ourselves each day. And, it seemed like pretty soon we were going to be taking casualties. And then the Viet Cong were putting up landmines. And so people were having casualties from the booby traps and landmines. So this one particular explosion of the rock, I was walking around to see if we'd taken any casualties from the explosion, and this rock, a huge rock, about 3 feet long, must have been over 100 pounds. I can't believe it was launched by the explosion. It doesn't seem possible, but it had fallen through the roof of the tent and ripped a hole in the tent, and it had crushed the major's table. Mm. His tea table had been crushed, and everyone who saw this just went pale because it seemed like this is some kind of omen. This was indicating that something very bad was going to happen, particularly for this major. So it turned out that was what we expected would happen, but the Vietnamese general came to our position and they made some kind of deal whether instead of building the bunkers, he and the general, the major and the general, are going to sell all the lumber on the black market. And this is the kind of thing that happened in Vietnam. The South Vietnamese government and the South Vietnamese military were just incredibly corrupt. There's no way for them to survive without being corrupt. The idea of the war being logical or justified just was totally escaped me. And most of the South Vietnamese soldiers didn't want to be there either. It was just a very, very bizarre situation. Then that next morning, we saw the VC over on another hill. I called in artillery fire, but the South Vietnamese artillery down in the valley, they couldn't just seem to respond. They couldn't get it together. So the hours went by, and then I had this strange compulsion to walk to the northern part of the perimeter. And I was a little bit embarrassed because there was no reason to go there, but I just started walking. And then suddenly down in the valley, the South Vietnamese artillery fired, and they fired a shell, which supposedly was supposed to go to the Viet Cong, right? But it landed right in our perimeter and right to the point where I was walking towards. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it knocked out my hearing, but it didn't injure me in the slightest. All the fragments missed me for some reason. And so I decided I'd pick up one of these fragments as a souvenir. That turned out to be pretty stupid. I cut my finger, and I couldn't stop the blood from bleeding. I had injured myself. It was kind of like a moral tale or something. It's like we have met the enemy, and he is us. You know, here I escaped injury, but then I injured myself. So I go back to the tent to try and bandage up my finger, which is bleeding all over the place. But I couldn't hear anything for about 12 hours or so after that, till my hearing finally came back on its own.
In other words, it was like hearing rock music.
It was like hearing nothing, ringing. Yeah.
We always mention with loud noises, many of the people who have gone to rock concerts regularly or play in a band, their hearing is shot.
Yeah, it's damaging to the hearing. So I have a hearing disorder even to this day, but I still can hear. You know, it isn't like I've totally lost my hearing. But that was one of just an increasingly series of bizarre events, all kind of like poltergeist phenomena would happen on this mountain that we were on. And that was just the first of these rocks which seemed to fall from the sky. And the second one fell. They brought an American Jeep in the Chinook helicopter and unloaded it. And we don't have any roads or anything. And to me, this seemed absolutely absurd. Why do we have this American Jeep? Well, it turned out that we were eventually going to get these American, they were kind of like CIA guys, and they were going to be listening to the enemy on the radio frequencies, and they were going to be using this Jeep battery. But I didn't know anything about that. But then a rock fell from the sky, and it landed right on this Jeep and crushed the front of it. By then, everyone was kind of so freaked out by other events that we weren't really paying attention to that. But it seemed to me that that was kind of for me, just so that I would have a kind of story to tell. So that's the story that I tell of this latest book that I have out. The title is An Iranian and American Veteran Exchange Stories and Discuss Inner Peace. I've got an Iranian co-author, and he describes his experiences in the Iran-Iraq war. I describe my experiences in Vietnam, and then we talk about how to deal with this kind of thing, how to deal with the post-traumatic stress disorder and with the trauma and anxiety and all that kind of stuff. I think that's something that people need these days. Right now we're going through some kind of weird things. So in every chapter we have self-help stories, self-help exercises, things you can do to help yourself to get over this kind of stuff, because you don't have to be handicapped all your life from this kind of thing. You can go through very, very strange things. You can go through abusive childhood or terrible accidents or being raped or robbed or going through some kind of terrible sickness. You can get over it just by practicing like a riding to heal exercises, a meditation exercise, all kinds of different exercises you can do to help yourself. So that's the nature of that book, which is really, these are things that happened before I fell into this realm of parapsychology.
But again, paranormal, it sounds as if the ghosts were trying to take sides in the Vietnam War.
Well, they weren't. There's actually more to the story. That commander, my major, he was transferred off because he'd made the deal with the general, so the general saved him. We got this new guy who is a Buddhist. He was a Buddhist captain, and he's the one who really, I think he's the one whose side I became on, and he turned out to be a kind of a good guy. He expressed a kind of a deep philosophy, which we describe in the book.
We've got Jim and Tim and Gene. It means you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky again asking his Russian counterpart to sit down and talk. Vladimir Putin, despite being frustrated by not taking a swift victory lap, is not showing signs of backing off his invasion of Ukraine. He told attendees to a pro-war rally that Russia will prevail, along with other claims like Ukrainians have welcomed Russian troops. His claims are being noted at the United Nations, including one of a U.S.-backed biological weapons program, of which there is no evidence of. Linda Thomas Greenfield, America's ambassador to the UN, says it's Russia who is planning on using biological weapons on the Ukrainians.
Russia has repeatedly accused other countries of the very violations it plans to perpetrate.
Unrelated to the war in Ukraine, four American Marines were killed when the Osprey they were in crashed in Norway. This is USA Radio News. Western Europe is dealing with a surge in COVID cases. USA Radio's John Hunt in Washington reports that it is prompting health experts to be on high alert.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
We have to be careful that if we do see a surge as a result of that, that we're flexible enough to reinstitute the kinds of interventions that could be necessary to stop an additional surge.
In the past 2 years, widespread outbreaks like the one being seen in Europe has always been followed by a similar surge in the United States a few weeks later.
The dean of the U.S. House of Representatives has died. Alaska Congressman Don Young was the longest-serving member of that lower house, first being sworn in 49 years ago. His office said that the 88-year-old passed away as he was traveling home to Alaska. The Republican was born in California but later moved to Fort Yukon to teach Native Alaskans at a Bureau of Indian Affairs school. He survived by his wife, two daughters from his first marriage, and a host of grandchildren. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Jim McLennan is talking to us here about paranormal encounters back in the days of the war in Vietnam. Fascinating. Because we don't hear too many things about this happening in the war theater, as it says. We hear, of course, about all the terrible things that happen in war. But paranormal encounters. Wow.
It's because the life at that time was just so outside of normal reality that I think it kind of invites very strange things. And I encountered that at other times. I've encountered other situations where a mortar shell would fall and a person closest to it would be uninjured while people farther away would die, you know. One time there's even a case where a shell fell right inside this cow pond and a guy was standing on the underneath the kind of like a covering, and the shell fragments were all embedded in the wall, and you could see the outline of his body is as if everything was hit except where he was standing. Very strange situation.
Almost as if it was meant to be that way.
Yes. Yes, it would seem so, yes. But the guy ended up suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because the children were severely injured. There were children in the patio, and they were badly injured, and it was somewhat traumatic. It was too much for him to see firsthand.
Now, regular Paracast listeners will want to know, you guys ever see a UFO out there?
No. I haven't seen a UFO, but my research has involved doing surveys, random sample surveys, a lot of different populations, and the seeing of UFO is correlated with other types of anomalous experiences, with extrasensory perception experiences and poltergeist experiences. The type of person who has one of these kinds of experiences is more likely to have another kind of experience.
I just want to say that before we go off on to other subjects, your book, An Iranian and American Veteran Exchange Stories and Discuss Inner Peace, I really found this book just very moving. And I highly recommend that all of our listeners read this because, as you said, it really is pertinent for all kinds of traumatic situations in people's lives, and especially with, you know, all the stuff that is going on right now. I think a book like this is more important than ever for people to have access to.
We don't understand a lot of times what happens during war, because we have an all-volunteer army in this country, and their experiences are distant from us, except in terms of watching a fictional TV show.
Well, the guys came back from Afghanistan. The guys came back from Iraq. And there's a percentage of them who have real problems. It's something that's not that easy to get over. And most of them have not sought help. They don't really find much benefit in the traditional medical situation. So that's why Mohammed and I wanted – my co-authors, Mohammed Kodar Yarifard, he's – the chairman of the psychology department at the University of Tehran. And the reason why I went there is because, in a way, the Iranians are thought to be our enemy. I had enough of Vietnam, and I felt like there really is a need for us to understand Islam and for us to understand Iran and for us to understand these different people who we label as our enemy. So I had a chance to go to a conference there, and that's where I ran into Mohammed, and we developed a friendship, and we started co-authoring papers about childhood psychopathology and the treatment of childhood psychiatric problems. And that's when we both realized we were both veterans. That's how we came to write this book, where we tell each other our stories and talk about how you can get over these kinds of things. And he himself has just astonishing stories to tell. He went to the front with the war against Iraq with 12 of his friends from his workplace and from his childhood home. And during the course of the war, every single one of those men were killed. He was the only survivor. And this was very difficult for him to handle, because one idea that they had was that they wanted to be martyred. They wanted to martyr themselves. So that was something that he failed to achieve. And I guarantee you it wasn't a result of him not being heroic. He was an astonishingly fearless person during that warfare.
After he finished serving, what kind of work did he do?
Before he went, he was working at a newspaper, and the men he went with were all newspaper reporters. So they took a lot of photographs, and you can see them in the book. But then he went on to graduate school and became a child psychotherapist. He became a child psychologist.
Now, that's interesting, too, here. Dealing with somebody in Iran, do you run into any political issues in communicating back and forth?
Well, yes. You have to be very careful speaking in Iran. You don't have freedom of speech there, and you can't really say what you think. And everyone is aware of that you can't really say what you think. And so in all my interaction with him, we do not discuss politics. But I guarantee you, he's a very patriotic Iranian, and he supports his country. But the main thing we're interested in is our mental health and the mental health of people. So I visited many psychiatric facilities in Iran. It's very ironic that their treatment method is probably better than ours. They seem to have more success in their treatment than we do here in the United States. So there's a deep irony involved with this, because a lot of the therapists are upset because it's a very stressful environment for them. The American sanctions have reduced their standard of living substantially.
You say that it's a higher degree of success. Is there something that you could explain that would cover that?
Well, it's the controversy. Now, that's a controversial statement, and I'm sure there are people who disagree with me. It's not just Iran, but it's most of the third world countries and most non-technological countries seem to have lower rates of mental disorder. Now, I can't say that with certainty, but there's a lot of, perhaps a majority of people who are familiar with the international scene would agree with me. And it could be because they have an intact family structure system. And that helps reduce mental disorder. It seems like an intact family structure is very important for mental disorder. And it could be that modern technology is not necessarily good for us psychologically. It's not good for our psychological health. And so I notice that among younger people in America today, there's a high levels of depression and anxiety disorder. And our modern technology may not necessarily be good for us.
Do you think the ever presence of social networks where people who are a little bit different can be, have their lives ruined as a result?
Well, and then everyone's got their own cell phone and they spend a lot of time poking at it. You know, they're sending messages. So instead of sitting down and talking with each other, we're communicating with our little cell phones in our hands all the time. It's a strange modern world, and I'm an old guy, so I realize we've got to adjust to the modern technology. But when people just sat around on their porch in the evening time and talked to each other, they might have been better off psychologically.
You know, when you talk to somebody online, it's just text. You're rarely interacting with facial expressions by video. Either way, the actual human interaction is very different. You can get away with things that you would not get away with if you were physically next to a person because they'd smack you in the face. But you get people who behave in very eccentric ways. We see this, of course, as I've grown up in the online world. I wrote books about it. And I see how certain people think that if they are essentially anonymous, they can get away with anything. We've got Jim. We've got Gene. We've got Tim. You're in.
The Pentecost.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
See what I mean about the online world? Tim Schwartz can get away with any kind of wacky voice. I mean, if I met him right now at his home in Indiana, do you think he'd give me all those voices, Tim?
Oh, yeah, I probably would.
We need the entertainment.
Yeah, well, that's a good source. I'm not very good at entertaining people. Jim, okay, so let me ask you just a specific question before we run into other subjects because we have so many to talk about on this episode, and that is, did you suffer from PTSD after you came back from Vietnam?
Not technically, because there's a series of specific symptoms that you need to have to be diagnosed with it. But it's a matter of degree. So there's kind of a continuum. What the experts have found is that anyone who experiences extremely traumatic event is going to experience some degree of trauma from it. It's harmful psychologically. It affects the synapses in your brain, your ability, when your emotional level reaches a certain threshold, you're unable to use your rational mind to process the memory. That connection is disrupted. The people who are listening to this program right now, there's going to be a continuum of people. Some people are extremely happy. Some people are so unhappy or so traumatized that they're diagnosed with having a psychiatric disorder. But the people in between could still benefit from engaging in some kind of therapeutic process. They could become happier. That's the purpose of what the book that Mohammed and I wrote. We're urging people to follow strategies that help them to become happier. And it turns out that religion can play a role in that. Mohammed's a very devout Muslim, so a lot of his strategies involve thinking along those lines. But you don't actually need to be religious to use strategies that could be beneficial for you, like meditation or mindfulness or yoga or any of these other mind-body modalities.
What do you think about artificially induced meditation? We're talking about certain types of drugs.
Well, I have a lot of firsthand experiences, I hate to say. When I came back, I decided I would resort to marijuana on a full-time basis. It's not actually very good for you, and it prevents you from working things out to the degree you could do otherwise. But I understand that There are certain substances which, in that, when used in, within the therapeutic system, they seem to be beneficial for people. And just, it's just my personal opinion, but I think the real key is that the quality of the therapist that you have. Notice just doing the drug in and of itself is not going to have that real curative value. You need just some kind of direction.
You know, that's something that I see. I think, you know, you were talking about how the third world countries seem to do better with treating mental health disorders. It seems like in the West there has become an overemphasis on, antidepressive pharmaceuticals, and then that's it. You know, you prescribe a patient some drugs but leave out the therapy part. And, you know, while I think that the antidepressants, you know, it's probably a good process, but they can't just be used alone.
And then it's a little bit of a paradox because the process is like, for example, there's a particular method, cognitive behavioral therapy, which has been proven to be very useful for depression, for example, or for anxiety. So we're telling people, well, you need to do this, you need to practice these specific exercises. But if it were that easy to do, then the people would have done it. So the pathway towards success requires a certain level of effort, which a lot of people aren't willing to expend. I think if you do follow, say we have a writing to heal exercises, which is basically what our book is doing. We were trying to heal ourselves. We were writing to heal ourselves. But so if you do some of these writing to heal exercises, they've been shown through controlled experimental processes that they are effective. So there are strategies a person can use to help themselves. You know, we were talking about the parapsychological phenomena before, and I was gathering all these haunting cases, and then I presented a case at a parapsychological conference, and I ran into this guy, William Edward Cox, and he's the one who invited me to help him investigate this particular group in Missouri, the Society for Research on Rapport and Telekinesis. And see, their argument was that rapport was the secret ingredient, that if you could develop rapport within the group, then you could do psychokinetic phenomena. You could make tables levitate. You could do table tipping, get the tables to levitate. So that kind of is tied in with this notion of psychological health as being evolved from your relationship for us, healthy relationships with other people, with developing rapport with other people. This is not that far away from what Christianity teaches. It's far away from what a lot of Christians practice, but Christianity has that same argument. It's the rapport, the love between people that seems to be at the root of solving a lot of our problems.
And what year was this that you first got involved in Surratt?
Well, I first met Edward Cox in 1980, and then in 1981, I came out to Missouri to see these people who were doing this, who had this Society for Research on Rapport and Telekinesis. I think I may have been more of a normal person before I got involved with this, but that was kind of a turning point because I saw things which are just really too much, not many, many very, very strange phenomena, and a lot of it centered around Ed Cox's research with this group. He had been an associate of J.B. Rhine, so he was very familiar with how scientific parapsychology operates, and Rhine had suggested that they devise some kind of sealed container through which nothing could move in or out, and then if something did move in or out, that would prove that the phenomena was paranormal. So Cox had introduced this idea to the Surratts, and they had constructed these containers and think objects could move in and out all the time. It didn't seem to be that difficult. And the pens would even write messages inside the sealed container describing the nature of reality and all kinds of strange things. So that was the kind of thing which I was exposed to when I arrived in Missouri. The very first day that I arrived, Cox showed me he called it a mini lab. It was an inverted aquarium which had padlocks and metal bands which locked it onto a wooden platform, and then there were microswitches in the floor of the platform so that if anything moved inside the sealed container, it would switch on a film camera. So he had created filmed images of psychokinetic phenomena. But the very first night I was there, this is in Rolla, Missouri, where this phenomenon was going on, the thing, a pen lifted up and it wrote, "Hi, Jim." And so when I got up in the morning, that was inside the box, a message to me. Everything was on a very personal level. They were trying to develop rapport with us and get us to develop rapport. They being these entities, whatever it was that's doing, creating this phenomena.
Now, Sarupta got its start in, was it 1961?
That's correct. It was founded by Dr. J.G. Neihardt. Neihardt was a very famous poet during the early part of the century, 1920s, 1930s, and then he went on to write the book Black Elk Speaks. He was very familiar with Lakota Sioux culture and was a friend of Black Elk and wrote the book, and that became a bestseller. And then as he grew older, he became a college professor at the University of Missouri at Columbia, and that's where he founded the Surratt Group because it was his opinion that rapport was the key to getting the spiritualist phenomena to occur. So he assembled a bunch of college students, and they all sat around, put their hands on the table, met regularly every week for week after week. And after about 3 months, they started getting raps to come out of the floor. And it was Black Elk contacting them. They could rap out messages by one rap for A, two raps for B, three raps for C, like that. So you could rap and spell out messages.
Sounds like a modified form of Morse code.
Yes. Then they also have one rap for yes, two raps for no, three raps for maybe. So you could communicate with these rapping entities. When I arrived in Missouri, I could talk to the raps. They would rap. The raps would come out of the floor, and I would carry on. I could carry on conversations with them. You could put your hand on the floor. You could feel where the raps were coming out. It's a vibration within the wood.
It wasn't somebody else in another part of the house pulling a game. Let's have that answer on the other side. Yeah. Okay? Jim and Jean. And Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.